happen sooner or later. You knew it had to happen. When abortion clinics are permitted to operate pretty much outside the realm of governmental regulation, whether it be at the state level or the federal level, when tattoo parlors have to abide by more regulation than an abortion clinic, and when outpatient surgery clinics are fastidious in the regulations that they must adhere to, both at the state and the federal level, but abortion clinics aren't and don't expect to be and sue when they're required to be, sooner or later, there will be some charges filed, because when the cat's away, the mouse will play. And when someone isn't watching what's going on in an abortion clinic, then almost anything could happen there. We're going to talk with Dr. David Stevens of the Christian Medical Association here about the, you've probably read about this in the news, a Kansas abortion clinic has some charges filed against it about the conditions there. That's the first 20 minutes or so of Issues Etc. today. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. In the second half hour, kind of lapping over the bottom of the hour, Pastor Carlos Hernandez will join us, give us another update on those California wildfires and the need that is rapidly expanding, created by those fires, even as the weather seems to be improving in part of Southern California, perhaps giving a little bit of relief. Audio open line starts at 4:30, a Fox News interview on a new book. It's called What's So Great About Christianity, and a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly report on interfaith dialogue. Sometimes that dialogue goes from dialogue to compromise. Pastor Charles Lehman will join us to deal with the other big story. If you go any place on the internet looking for your news, you're going to find two stories: the California fires, and then you're going to find the Harry Potter story. Of course, Albus Dumbledore, the beloved headmaster of Hogwarts School for Witchcraft and Wizardry, is gay, or was gay? It's hard to know how to put that when you're talking about a fictional character. Pastor Charles Lehman of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado, will join us to discuss that revelation from J.K. Rowling, the author of those books. Audio open lines at 5 o'clock. A Fox News report on the verdict of a trial of a Muslim charity that was said to allege to have had some connections with terrorism. And a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story on Muslims in the U.K. They are now the largest religious minority in the United Kingdom. Doug LeBlanc will join us for the last 20 minutes of the program. Doug is a freelance reporter and writer and author of a story in the latest Christian research journal titled Fourth Wave Feminists Stress Action Over Doctrine. What's a fourth wave feminist? I've heard about first and second, and perhaps third. We'll find out in the last 20 minutes of Issues Etc. Our call-in numbers as we come to you live this Wednesday, the 24th of October, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or 505-7850. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. David Stevens is a regular guest. He's CEO of the Christian Medical Association based in Bristol, Tennessee. Dr. Stevens, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Todd.
First of all, tell us about the charges that were filed against this Kansas abortion clinic.
Well, there are actually 107 criminal charges based on 29 records out of the thousands and thousands they had in the clinic, but they just looked at 29 of them and found out that in second trimester abortions, they were routinely not estimating the age of the fetus. In other words, the law in Kansas says very clearly that you cannot do an abortion if the baby is viable, in other words, could survive outside the uterus, without a second physician examining the patient and without overriding medical reasons for doing it. But Planned Parenthood was not bothering to even get the age of the pregnancy and the ones in question, and have even falsified records in some instances. So this brought these 107 criminal charges, some of them misdemeanors and some of them felonies.
Okay, now, the charges are brought by whom?
They were brought by the district attorney in the case, who happens to be pro-life and has been trying to raise this issue for some time in the state. Because this, we think, is probably quite common across the country in the 860 Planned Parenthood clinics. There's a long history of Planned Parenthood playing very loose with the law, with underage girls getting abortions when it's obvious that they got pregnant, from someone who is much older than they are, so it's statutory rape, and they don't report that. Or in this instance, slipping around the law on when they can actually do an abortion according to the weeks the woman is pregnant.
So the very few laws or regulations that actually are applicable to abortion clinics, because they seem to be some sort of a legal exception when you compare them with stuff like outpatient surgery clinics or even tattoo parlors or something like that. The very few that do, it appears that at least in this one case, the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics are not bothering to abide by them very fastidiously.
They're not, and there's just a long history of that. There's a group out of Texas called Life Dynamics a few years ago, called up hundreds of abortion clinics, hired a professional actress who posed as someone that was 14 years old asking for an abortion, and she admits on the phone that her boyfriend's 21 and ask if that's going to be a problem. And in almost every instance, the abortion clinic said, just don't tell us that. If you don't tell us that when you come in, we won't have to say it to anybody, or lie about it and say that he's younger. And so they were giving instructions in these recorded conversations to circumvent the law about statutory rape. One study in 1992 looked at this very carefully and found out that 62% of the pregnancies in underage girls, other younger than 16, were the result of rape, incest, molestation, or whatever. But Planned Parenthood is not reporting those cases, and there's instance after instance of this happening, including one in the Northeast, where actually a girl was being kept prisoner and been kidnapped, and the guy that kidnapped her took her, had the abortion. He was twice her age, three times her age, and Planned Parenthood did nothing about it, and she was put back, and it was not a year and a half later before it was found out.
If comparable breaches in protocol, policy, failure to adhere to regulations and to laws were found in an average general practitioner's office, he'd probably be in prison, wouldn't he?
Well, you'd lose your license, at least, and if deaths or injury was involved, it might be much more than a fine, but actually prison time. And but unfortunately, what's happened in state after state across the country is that the law is not applied to abortion clinics. Abortion rights supersede every other right, and so this is, quote, such a good, end quote, that prosecutors and others are reluctant to go after it, and for good cause. We're seeing it in this instance where Planned Parenthood and its supporters in the media are turning their attack not on the issue or let's find out the facts, but attacking the district attorney involved and trying to assassinate his character. And so with that type of tactics, even people who think they should address this are very reluctant to do so, knowing they'll be crucified in the media.
What is all of this? What is all of this kind of a light does this cast upon the often repeated phrase that even people like the associates of Planned Parenthood and their supporters want to make abortion safe, legal, and rare?
Well, I think all of those are false. We know it's not safe, and the longer you wait in pregnancy to have an abortion, the more unsafe it becomes. But there's increasing evidence that abortions, especially when you're young, increase the chance of breast cancer, increase the chance of infection, increase the chance of infertility, and the list just goes on and on. And that doesn't even look at the emotional and psychological consequences on women, which have been well documented. So we know it's not safe, and now we are learning increasingly that they're not following the law, so it's not legal. And rare, there were 1.3 million abortions last year in this country, and 30 to 40% of women in this country have had an abortion sometime in their life. So to say it's rare is just really a joke.
Do you expect other states with other laws that pertain to abortion clinics, and they vary, of course, to look with the same kind of scrutiny as the district attorney did here in this Kansas case?
Well, in some states, we're seeing a little stirring. Ohio's a good example of this. Indiana, where they're beginning to examine how well these clinics are following the law. I think the real answer is going to be at the federal level. And we need to understand that over $300 million each year is given by the federal government and state governments to Planned Parenthood out of their $1 billion budget. And so a third of their income actually comes from tax coffers. And I think these groups are the ones that really need to take a hard look at it. Unfortunately, in that case I told you about Life Dynamics and those tapes and all that, nothing was done. It was swept under the rug, and no prosecution took place, though it was quite obvious that the law was being broken. And I think some of our pro-life legislators, senators, and congressmen are going to have to lead the charge on this, and it's going to be an uphill one as well. But I think we must do it, and I think at the minimum, the abortion industry should be held to reasonable medical standards, which they don't follow, and secondly, that they should have to obey the law. If Christian Medical Association, as nonprofit, broke the law, we would lose our nonprofit registration if we were doing it in a systematic manner as they're doing it. And I think that's one thing that should be considered, and also how much money they're getting from the federal government.
How many Planned Parenthood abortion clinics are there in the U.S.?
There's 860, and it's interesting to watch their new tactics. You know, they talk about, well, we provide contraceptives and reproductive counseling. Well, they do 20% of the abortions in the country. They're the biggest abortion provider, and that has increased by 250% in the last 10 years as far as their share, and they make a lot of money doing it. An average abortion takes less than 10 minutes. A first trimester abortion, they make $400. Now, help you understand that the doctor who's doing that may get $100 to $150 for doing the abortion. When you can do 4 to 6 an hour, you're going to be making $15,000 a week and $60,000 a month. It's just unbelievable the amount of money that is involved in this industry. And they always come out talking about, you know, their care for women rights. But the bottom line is the gravy train is their money, and they want no restrictions on having to report to parents, having to have certain quality of facilities, or anybody looking over their shoulder, because this money train is flowing a lot of money into their coffers.
How would you respond to someone who would say, look, this is one clinic in Kansas, one bad apple, so goes the saying, and this is not representative? Maybe this district attorney just overturned and brought to light the worst abortion clinic in the U.S.
Well, if that's the case, let's open up and examine, you know, take the names off the charts, and let's examine 50 charts from each clinic in the country and see if that's the case. We already have stories from other clinics of this going on, and suits brought against Planned Parenthood because of that, but it's pretty obvious that the problem is widespread. They're on their website. They have a website specifically designed for teenagers, and on that they emphasize the fact, we're not going to tell your parents, here's how you can call us. They may not be able to get a legal prescription for the morning after pill, you know, or buy it across the counter, but we'll give it to you, just call this number. I mean, they're always circumventing the law any way they can, and I guess we really shouldn't be surprised, because if you're willing to kill another human being, what's a little lie, or what's a little trying to circumvent the law when you're already willing to take the life and cause the ceasing of a beating heart? Then these things don't even compare.
Someone might ask here at this point, Dr. Stevens, is this a case of too little law, too little regulation, or is it a case of too little enforcement, active enforcement of those laws or regulations when it comes to abortion clinics?
I think it's both. I think there's a huge problem with enforcement of the law and people willing to take it on, and mainly because people that do get massacred in the media, from ABC News to GQ Magazine. GQ Magazine actually profiled one of the district attorneys that tried this before and just assassinated his character in an article. So that's one aspect. But then we know the tremendous difficulty in getting you know, laws passed. California's a good example of that, where parents were going to have to be notified, not that they had to get permission, but notified before their daughter had an abortion. And Planned Parenthood poured millions of dollars into that race and got it defeated, and through deceptive advertising in California. So there's not enough laws on the books. If you do polls, 80% of parents want to know if their child is considering an abortion. But despite that, through scare tactics, laws are not available in many states to prevent it. So I think it's a combination of both issues.
CMDA.org is the website address for the Christian Medical and Dental Association. cmda.org. Dr. David Stevens is CEO of the Christian Medical Association based in Bristol, Tennessee. Thank you so much for your time, Doctor.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Joining us for the next few minutes of the program is Pastor Carlos Hernandez. We need an update on the wildfires in California. The story continues to grow as the fire and the evacuations, some of them precautionary and all of them probably wise, continue to grow. Pastor Carlos Hernandez is Director of Districts and Congregations for LCMS World Relief. Pastor Hernandez, welcome back.
Thank you.
Where are you at today?
Well, I'm here close to in Orange County, trying to get some information. Highway 5, I'm as far as I can go on Interstate 5. That's been closed down, and we can't get down either to Escondido, where we were yesterday, or certainly not into San Diego. But I've been in touch with pastors in the area on the telephone and getting some updates. And so a couple of pastors that we've talked to have given us some updates.
What are you seeing from that vantage point?
Well, what we're seeing, first of all, let's say in the Escondido area where we were yesterday with Reverend Vogel Zonk at community, what we're seeing is, and also with Pastor Phil Robbins from Escondido at Grace Lutheran Church and School there, is that there are more and more members that are discovering, as some of them return, are discovering that their homes have been completely burned down. So we're discovering more and more homes that were completely demolished. That number is going to increase as people return home.
What's the immediate need that's presenting itself there, Pastor?
I think the immediate need this is always the case in disasters, is housing. You know, what are people going to do? You can stay with friends, relatives, even a motel for a few days, but then there's a gap there between the time insurance money comes in, FEMA money comes in. So we found in LCMS World Relief and Human Care Disaster Response is that the immediate need is always housing. What are people going to do? Where are they going to live? And they don't always have the immediate funds, and that's why, you know, we need the help of the whole church at large.
How many people? How many people is it being estimated at this point have been evacuated from their homes or their businesses or other locations?
Well, in the whole 14 fires across the state?
Yeah.
I mean that was, I think, up to a half a million this morning and growing of the people who had to be evacuated. Now, it's people who lost their homes. That again is continues to grow, but at one time I believe it was up to close to over 1,000. But I that's probably doubled by now. I mean, the thing changes so fast it's a phenomenal number. In terms of our own LCMS congregations, the one that's really at risk right now is in Lake Arrowhead, Mount Calvary, and then there's kind of a satellite where they have a preschool is Running Springs. I talked to the folks there, and they're thinking that even their properties may be in danger. So that's an uncontained fire. So far, 400 homes have been destroyed in this Lake Arrowhead area, and another 1,000 are in danger. So it's not anywhere near contained by a long shot.
What are you hearing? I had heard about midday today, our time, that some of the weather, which in some cases the firefighters are just depending on, hopefully the winds changing or some precipitation forming, that some of the weather looked like at least in some of these cases, it might be improving for the firefighters and to help get a handle on the fires. What are you hearing?
That's what I heard too. In fact, there went out an email from President Stoddard over the Pacific Southwest that I read, where he said the good news was that it looked like the winds might be dying down. As far as the firefighters are concerned, there's another new piece of information that many of the firemen were, and this is normal to be expected, were experiencing fatigue. So they're setting up sort of a shelter respite place in Del Mar, which is right on the coast. So we need to keep them in our thoughts and prayers. The other thing, too, is Camp Pendleton is at risk. And so that's why the Highway 5 is closed. We're going into south into San Diego. And the church there in Oceanside have many members, you know, that are part of the Camp Pendleton, Shepherd of the Valley, Pastor Kolkman. And so that's something new than from yesterday, is that the fire has actually come all the way down to Camp Pendleton, which wasn't the case yesterday. I was able to go through on Highway 78 all the way to Escondido, but today you just can't get through. Either way, either east in the Oceanside or south into San Diego.
Pastor Hernandez, are you able to at least have some kind of a communication with all of the pastors in the affected areas of those congregations?
Yeah, I just in the last half hour or so, I've talked to the pastors, a couple of the pastors that are in Escondido, where a large affected area, and that's Pastor Phil Robbins from Grace Lutheran Church and School in Escondido. And Pastor William Vogelsang at Community Lutheran Church in Escondido, and left messages with other pastors, trying to stay in contact with them and get the latest information from them.
With only 30 seconds, what can we do again to help the victims and those who've been displaced by these fires?
Well, in addition to keeping them in prayer, I think it's important to keep informed. I know you get tired of reading the paper, listen to the news, but to realize how really desperate the situation is, and so keeping informed is important. I think there's a and this was brought out in another email that was sent out, is that this is not just rich people. This is a lot of working class people, a lot of immigrants that were working are affected too. So to keep informed, and then second, of course, we always say, contributions to LCMS World Relief and Human Care California Fires.
Folks, you can help the victims of the California fires. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for information on LCMS World Relief. You can earmark a donation by calling 1-888-930-4438. Mention California fires. 1-888-930-4438. Pastor Matt Harrison in LCMS World Relief. Pastor Carlos Hernandez is Director of Districts and Congregations for LCMS World Relief, and he joined us from Southern California. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to do some audio open lines with you. Dinesh D'Souza has written a lot of books. His latest is called What's So Great About Christianity? Yesterday, we heard a little bit from Christopher Hitchens, famous atheist, who says, God is not so great. That's a paraphrase of his best-selling book. Dinesh D'Souza begs to differ, and he also says the challenge from atheism that Christianity is enjoying lately shouldn't be considered a bad thing. Now, if someone asked you, what's so great about Christianity, how would you respond? I want your answer to that question on the other side of the break during Audio Open Lines. Stay tuned.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At AMA 50 KFUO, we greatly appreciate and enjoy hearing from you, our listeners, via email. Here's an example. Dear Pastor, your program is so important to me. I'm 79, and church music, along with your soothing messages, are so wonderful. I love the old hymns, but enjoy the praise songs as well. Yours in Christ, Jan. Let us hear what you think about worldwide KFUO. Just log on to KFUO.org.
Here at AM 850 KFUO, we thank God for blessing our founders with the vision and wisdom to embrace broadcasting as an evangelism resource long before people owned radios. You have to wonder what legendary broadcaster Dr. Walter A. Meyer would think of worldwide KFUO today, serving local listeners with a high-definition signal and reaching the ends of the earth with streaming audio via the Internet. We do know one thing he'd recognize as being the same: our commitment to communicating God's saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ in all of our programs. If you share the vision of our founders and want to continue fulfilling the Great Commission through Worldwide KFUO, here's a personal invitation for you to become a charter member of the AM 850 KFUO Founders Club. Your support will go a long way toward making sure KFUO continues to be a reliable resource to people for years to come. We'll even invite you to our annual Founders Club dinner.
A gymnastics star has his mom to thank.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
At the Junior Olympics National Championship this year, 18-year-old gymnast Thomas Kelly captured the national title. Thomas's mom, Susan, has always looked out for him. Starting in her early days of pregnancy, when facing an emergency appendectomy, she refused to undergo general anesthesia. At the time, Susan had to insist on the importance of her unborn baby's life in the face of reluctant doctors and stand firm in her and her husband's conviction that two lives were at stake, not just one. Now, 19 years later, a gymnastics star can shine because his mom chose life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. A friend, surrounded by the fires in Southern California, emailed and asked for prayer. Yes, I replied, but then thought, what exactly should I pray for? I have decided it is a multiple-choice prayer. For the people whose lives are in danger from the fires, Psalm 68, verse 20 says, Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. Lord, we pray that you keep this promise to protect us. For the people whose homes are threatened, Psalm 91, verse 10, No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Lord, not that we have deserved it, but we pray you fulfill this promise. And should God not stop the fire from your house? Psalm 55, verse 22, Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Lord, help us cling to you, despite the terrible loss we see. For the grief that comes with loss, Psalm 119, verse 50, This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Lord, comfort all who grieve. And for hope, from Revelation 21, verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. A multiple choice prayer, not multiple guess.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work, we work with a purpose.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, it's audio open lines. Dinesh D'Souza has written a new book. It's called What's So Great About Christianity. We're going to hear a little interview with him for the next few minutes of the program. And then I want to know, he says that, he says two things. He says that the new atheists who are challenging Christianity should be considered by Christians, we should be thanking them because it's making Christians sharpen their skills and rethink and go back over their history and answer some of the revisionism that's taking place and answer some of the arguments against Christianity. So we should consider it a boon to Christianity rather than a threat. I have to agree with them. But if someone walked up to you and said, what is so great about Christianity? How would you respond? Just a wide open, open-ended question, just like that. Someone says, I know you. I know you're a Christian. What's so great about Christianity? They're not making arguments about how bad Christianity is. They're not trying to talk to you about the Crusades or any of those things. They just ask you, what's so great about it? What gets you up on a Sunday morning to go to church or gets you away from the television to read and study your Bible? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. It strikes me after our conversation yesterday, we were talking about the Willow Creek-style churches. They've come to a crisis of philosophy, these churches have, because they've spent, they would tell you that they are the best advertisement for Christianity that there is. They would tell you that, that they have figured out what's so great about Christianity, and they're telling people all the time what it is. Now, their answer is, what's so great about Christianity is that it's a better, it's a qualitatively better lifestyle than non-Christianity or Buddhism or being a heathen or being whatever you want to be. For them, what's so great about Christianity is it's a better, more effective, that is, you can be a more effective whatever you are, happier, well-balanced lifestyle. It's kind of like when you go to the gym and they say, why should I join this gym? And they'll say, you'll feel better. You'll go home feeling like $1 million. You'll look better. Your wife, your clothes will fall off of you. It's all going to be better for you. And that's what they say is so great about Christianity. It'll make your life better. Now, if that's their answer, what's your answer? What's so great about Christianity? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Maybe that's your answer. It's just a qualitatively better lifestyle. And that's what's so great about it for you. I want to hear from you as well. Issue ZTC at KFUO.org, 1-800-730-2727, or 505-7850. Dinesh D'Souza has written a lot of books, and his latest, he's decided, should be a defense of sorts of Christianity as a broad-sweeping historical phenomenon. Here's the story from Fox News.
Can atheists questioning the Christian faith actually be a good thing? Joining me from San Diego is best-selling author Dinesh D'Souza. His new book, What's So Great About Christianity, is in stores right now. Good morning to you, Dinesh.
Nice to be on the show.
You know, I find this a fascinating topic because my minister actually preached his entire sermon about this last Sunday. What he said was, isn't it unbelievable that Christopher Hitchens, an atheist, has sold over 1 million books? What does that say about our society? But he also said that maybe atheism is a good thing for our culture because Christianity needs an adversary to show how great it really is. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that Christians have been, in a sense, too complacent. A lot of Christians have been abandoning the public square, just sort of practicing their faith in private and hoping that the public square would remain neutral space. Mm-hmm. But now, somewhat to their surprise, the atheists have come galloping in. They've taken over the public square and they want to delegitimize Christianity, which they blame for a blind faith and perhaps even fanaticism and violence, linking, if you will, Christianity with Islamic radicalism and fundamentalism. So I think it's a good opportunity for Christians to be able to stand up, engage this debate, and meet the atheist challenge on their own terms. My book, What's So Great About Christianity, is an effort to do that.
Yeah, and that was his exact point, was that really the culprit in this whole battle wasn't necessarily the atheists, but the apathetic Christians, who just expect Christianity to stay there, even though they are not necessarily doing anything to keep it there.
The strange thing to me about this atheist attack is that, in a way, if the atheist were to sit back and make a list of all the values that he or she believes in, the value of individual dissent, of human rights, of human dignity, of equality, so even of social compassion as a value, all these values were introduced into the world by Christianity. Mm-hmm. So in a way, even the values that atheists cherish depend upon Christianity having been such a positive influence in Western civilization.
All right, that's Dinesh D'Souza. He's being interviewed on Fox News in conjunction with his new book called What's So Great About Christianity. Now, he's just made one case. He said, look, and it's a case we've made many times here, that atheists unwittingly borrow from Christian capital when they talk about values or right and wrong or morals or ethics or anything like that. They fail to take into account, or they are willingly ignorant of the fact that many of those, let's call them for the sake of argument, many of those quote-unquote Western values, although they're not Western, they're really Christian, that those values are woven into our society or have been woven into our society in the past by virtue of Christian influence, by virtue of not just the influence of Christian organizations. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Christians living in society. You know, we are part of society. Did you know that? We are actually part of society. We're part of culture. I find it a little annoying. The reporter there for Fox News had mentioned her pastor's sermon about, you know, look at what's happened to society. As though Christians aren't part of society. Look what's happened to our culture. As though Christians aren't part of culture. We are. We're out in it every single day. By the way, even when you're in church for that hour or so on Sunday morning, you're still part of society. You're still part of culture. Jesus tells us our place in this world, in but not of, but definitely in and definitely not of. So it's a little ridiculous for a pastor to talk about what's happened to society as though we haven't had a hand in it or been complicitous actively or inactively, passively complicitous in it. So if someone asks you, open-ended question, what's so great about Christianity? How would you respond? Give me a call, 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, October the 24th. At least I assume we're live. I don't feel live right now because guess what I did this morning, Jeff?
I know what you did this morning.
I didn't.
You told me over the weekend what you were
but
doing.
But I didn't have to leave the compound to do it. Because I consider the yard part of the compound. I aerated my yard, which I only do once a year. And I'm very glad I only do it once a year because it was like trying to steer an obstinate bull around my yard for about an hour and a half that had the very real potential of killing me. If any of you have ever seen any of these aerators, if it rolled over, you'd be dead. Trying to keep it going in the right direction, keep it from knocking over the fence, bushes, things like that. But that, I didn't tell you the rest of the story. You know what the rest of the story was? The reason I was a little bit late today?
I really don't care to know, but maybe our listeners
I'm going to tell you anyway. People want to peek inside the compound. This is what it looks like for Wilkin on a Wednesday morning. Guess what happened? Got it all done. Really proud of myself. Aerated the yard. Perfect timing, by the way, because it had just rained and it wasn't muddy. And so it was perfect, the perfect time to aerate the yard and get it ready because the Wilkin yard where the hounds run and things like that, it had been devastated this year by the drought. So perfect timing. So proud of myself. Open up the truck, get ready to put the aerator back in the truck and realize the aerator weighs 500 pounds. And while it's easy to get an aerator out of a truck that weighs 500 pounds, if you're careful, putting it back in, I tried. I built like a little Egyptian ramp thing with the paving stones, and I failed. So I had to drive back where I rented the thing, go in and say, sheepishly, I can't get it back in my truck. By the way, time was bearing down on me. And they said, well, we got some ramps here if you want to use those. And instead of my little Egyptian homemade ramp, I took their ramps home, rolled it right back up into the truck and took it back. But I was so proud. That moment of pride when I'm standing there in my yard looking at the newly aerated yard thinking, I have done a great thing and here I am, master of my domain. And then I realize that I can't get the piece of machinery back into my truck, no matter how hard I tried.
You know what you need?
What?
You need a producer for your personal life.
You know what? And I thought,
someone to expect the worst.
And here's the disadvantage, the one disadvantage of having no friends. If I would have had a friend, I could have just picked up the phone and said, hey, can you come over and just help me? Because the two strong men could lift it into the truck with some difficulty. They could be done. But since I have no friends, guess what? I had no one to call. No one to call.
Just think what it's going to be like when you get old.
I actually contemplated stopping someone who is driving by, waving them down and saying, would you be my friend and help me put the aerator back in the truck? But that would have required a very complicated protocol about opening the compound, and I just don't do that. So
you could have a contest, you know, be Wilkin's friend for a day.
Would you be my friend?
And based on how well they do with chores around the compound.
That's a good idea. You know, we got a fundraiser coming up tomorrow, Rally Day.
That's true.
We could turn it into Be Wilkins' friend.
For
a day. Become a day sponsor, and you can be Wilkins' friend.
That's not a bad idea.
Speaking of the Wilkins compound, there's an email from one of our listeners, Ben, in Edwardsville. He said there's a new Facebook page. You have to explain again what Facebook is, because I still don't know what it is, that presents a challenge to all Issues Etc. listening audience. Convince Pastor Todd Wilkin to leave the compound. Let's see which is more difficult, Jeff being elected president or Todd leaving the compound.
I can already tell you which would happen first. You would be occupying the White House. I'd happily come to visit you if you were occupying the White House. So that's my story, and that's why I feel less than live on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 24th. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. You should have seen me standing there in the driveway trying to think of someone to call. I thought, it got this desperate, I thought maybe I'll call my pastor. Because you've seen Pastor come. He's a man's man. He probably could have lifted the aerator all by himself. And I thought, do I call my pastor all the way out? You know, he's probably 10, 15 miles away in either direction. Do I call him to come out and say, Pastor, I need your help? He said, what is it? You need to confess your sins? What is it you need? You know, me to visit someone in the hospital? No, I need you to help me put the aerator in the back of the truck. The one downside of having no friends. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go back to the Fox News interview with Dinesh D'Souza, author of the book, What's So Great About Christianity?
Very interesting point. I want to ask you your opinion about this latest uproar regarding the chocolate Jesus. It's back. It was here in New York during Holy Week last year. Got a big response, especially from the Catholic League. I want to ask you this. Would we get the same reaction if we had Muhammad as a chocolate figure?
Not just that. That's a very good analogy. But you can also think about which groups in our society it's okay to offend and which groups it's not. The Muslims clearly come into the scary, don't offend them or you'll have to watch out category.
Right.
But you also have groups like African Americans, gay rights groups, Hispanics and so on. If you were to mock these groups, there would be a tremendous outrage. Free speech would never come up. The only debate would be about racism and insensitivity.
Right.
By contrast, when you attack Christians, the idea is, why don't you sit back and take it? Haven't you heard of the First Amendment? So there's a double standard in our culture, and that's something that Christians
right.
need to be alert to.
Dinesh D'Souza, his new book, What's So Great About Christianity? Check it out. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right, there's the story. Let's get your answer to that question. What is so great about Christianity? Someone walks up to you, perhaps a party, perhaps you're trying to get your aerator back into your truck, and they say, I know you're a Christian. What's so great about Christianity? Now, they're not making an accusation. They're not saying Christianity's bad. They're not arguing about the Crusades or about the Inquisition or any of the alleged atrocities committed in the name of Christ. They're just asking you, what's so great about it? What's your answer? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I can guarantee you that if you ask a Muslim what's so great about Islam, he's got an answer for you. His answer would be something like, well, to begin with, it's the true religion. And add to that, it is the true way to that Allah, our God, has set out by which we ought to live. He would even tell you, perhaps, if he were being maybe less than honest, he would even tell you that it is a peaceful religion that brings personal comfort and bliss. He'd have to be less than honest to make such statements, but he'd say that, probably. You ask a Buddhist, what's so great about Buddhism? They'll tell you. They'll tell you, I have a peace, a sense of tranquility that I never had before I begin to practice Buddhism. Ask a Mormon, what's so great about Mormonism? Oh, they could give you a book full of information and statements about what they consider to be so great about their religion. So I want your answer to the question. What is so great about Christianity? It's obvious we live in a world now that where Christians can be, and I think probably should be, openly challenged in the open marketplace of ideas, by atheism, by anything else. We should welcome this, by the way, rather than whine about it. And with that kind of challenge, shouldn't we at least be able to answer the innocent question, what's so great about Christianity? Issues ETC at KFUO.org, 1-800-730-2727, or 505-7850. Or maybe you don't think Christianity's so great. Maybe you're a Christian because you can't think of anything else to be. Or you've never really explored any other options. Or because mom and dad were. Maybe you have no answer. I still want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for October is called Lutheran Pastors and Politics. Now, you can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. The cover of the book is right there with a link to more information. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Lutheran Pastors and Politics. Very interesting set of research done by Jeffrey Walls and Steve in Montreal. 1-800-325-3040. That's the number for Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040. It's called Lutheran Pastors and Politics. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for October. It's audio open lines. A little bit later, we're going to be hearing a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly report on interfaith dialogue. You know, a lot of Christians sit down at these interfaith dialogues, and the real question kind of hanging in the air is, what's so great about your religion? And they spend all their time apologizing for what they consider to be the shortcomings of Christianity, apologizing that Christians are who they are, say what they say, believe what they believe. They spend a lot of time saying, we need to learn from you, O Buddhists or Jews or Muslims or perhaps just pagans. Let's explore those areas where we agree rather than those places where we disagree. And by the way, we're sorry that we disagree. We're working on that, trying not to disagree with you. We'll hear that in just a few minutes. Daniel of the Twin Cities writes this. In answer to the question, what's so great about Christianity? It is the only faith where the supreme being of reality places himself not only as sovereign Lord, but also as a servant to his creation. This is taken to its fullest when he leaves his throne to hang on the cross, where he serves. Where he serves to bring us free salvation. Thank you very much. Without our help. Remove the cross and Christianity is no different than other religions or merely a self-help book. He's talking there about the Bible. And he says, also, it is the only faith whose scriptures tie events directly to historical events, such as King Herod and the Roman census, and does so without error. Thank you very much, Daniel. And thanks for listening up there in the Twin Cities. That's Daniel's answer to the question, what's so great about Christianity? What's yours? Now, surely you've been listening to this show for a long time. This is a question that you ought to be able to answer with both hands tied behind your back, so to speak. 1-800-730-2727, issues ETC at KFUO.org or 505-7850. I don't think I've ever been asked the question, what's so great about Christianity? I'm still thinking about my answer. Lois is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Todd. I think the thing that's so great about Christianity is that we have God's promises to stand upon when we are on the shaky ground of this life that we are living here, like those poor folks out in California, which could happen to us very easily here, too, since we are living on a fault. You know, we could wake up some morning buried under our houses for all we know. But, you know, the Bible says these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with a glory that will be revealed to us in heaven. And also, I have gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you shall also be. You know, if we didn't have these promises to stand upon, we would be hopeless. But we're not hopeless. We share the greatest hope in all the world in our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Lois, thank you very much. That's Lois's answer to the question, what's so great about Christianity? She says there are firm promises which give us hope. What about the rest of you? Bill is calling from his car. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, this is probably a simple answer. It's like Peter said when Jesus asked him, "Where will you leave also?" And Peter says, "Well, where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." And I really hesitate saying this, but I don't want to take a chance on any other system of belief. And why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Well, I have God to thank for that. That's all I can say.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Well, there's a very, very old argument sometimes called an argument in Christian apologetics called Pascal's Wager, where he basically says, Blaise Pascal said, look, do you want to take the chance that it's wrong? Here's Christianity. If it's true, then it's the best news you ever heard. And if it's false, what do you got to lose? It's generally considered one of the weaker apologetic arguments, although it does have some rhetorical force, doesn't it? Of course, to make that argument, you really have to present Christianity as the best news you ever heard. Unbelievably good, too good to be true. Because any religion can say, well, if it's true, you should be following it, and if it isn't, you got nothing to lose by following it. Any religion can say that, but only Christianity can say, guess what? This is, in fact, the best news you ever heard, and it's too good to be true. So what's so great about Christianity? I'm thinking about this. I mean, you could give a lot of answers. You could say it does. And what Lois has said is absolutely right. Christianity gives us certain promises founded in the person of Jesus himself that on a daily basis provide us with comfort and hope. On the flip side of that coin, you know, there is a lot of doubt and there's a lot of living by faith and not by sight. I mean, that's what promises are. They are the objects of faith and not of any. You can't put your hands on them and say, ah, I got it now. I will have it then, but I don't have it now. Although Christianity delivers an awful lot now. You know what's so good about Christianity? Nothing. Except Jesus. Except Jesus Christ, crucified, dead on a cross, buried in the grave, and alive after 3 days for you. Take Jesus out of Christianity, that Jesus, not the happy helper Jesus. Take that Jesus, the sin bearer, the sacrifice for sins, the Savior, out of Christianity, and guess what? There's nothing great or really even good about Christianity. It's, our emailer got it right, I think. It's just another religion. In fact, it's not even that much better than any other religion if you take Jesus out of it. Which is why it's so ridiculous that churches would try and present Christianity as a superior lifestyle. Christianity isn't a lifestyle. It is, in fact, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you as your substitute for your sin. When we come back from this break, Pastor Charles Lehman's going to join us. I hope he's been doing some thinking because we've talked with him before about the Harry Potter set of novels, and J.K. Rowling dropped a bomb the other day in New York City at Carnegie Hall, where in answer to a question, she revealed that one of the most trusted and beloved characters in the Harry Potter world, Albus Dumbledore, is gay. We'll talk about that after this.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.